Once upon a time, there was a big corporation, and it was called Big Corp. Now, Mr. Owner, who was the owner of Big Corp, was a very kind and generous man. And he decided that since Big Corp had had a decade of really just fabulous growth, that he wanted to show his senior executives just how much he appreciated their hard work. He thought of giving them very large bonuses, but lots of companies do that. He wanted to do something better. He wanted to do something that really hadn't been done before. So he decided to actually make his three vice presidents co-owners with him. Each of them would receive 25% of the ownership of his company, which was valued in the billions. He wanted it to be a surprise for them, so he decided that he would make this announcement at the regular monthly lunch meeting with all the senior executives. When the day came, the top floor banquet hall of the building that was usually reserved for Senate fundraisers glistened with crystal and china. The 100 or so division heads and assistant vice presidents of regions or whatever were assembled, and they could tell that something unusual was up. For Mr. Owner was in a remarkably festive mood, and his eyes were sparkling brighter than the scotch in his hand. As it was about time to call the meeting to order, Mr. Owner called over Mr. Personal Assistant, who was his personal assistant, and asked whether his chief financial officer, Mrs. Cefio, had arrived yet. "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. She said that she couldn't make it. She's absolutely swamped. She said you call a lot of meetings, and she really couldn't be expected to be at all of them." "Well, what about Mr. Cetio?" That was his chief technology officer. "Is he here yet?" "Oh, again, I'm very sorry, sir. Mr. Cetio had an important meeting this morning with Senator Full of himself." "So? It's almost 12:30. Couldn't he finish up and make it here in time?" "I believe the meeting was on a golf course in Hawaii, sir." Mr. Owner's eyes had lost some of their sparkle. "Do I dare ask where Mr. Cetio is?" No one knew what the P stood for, but he was the chief officer of something, so he had to be important. "I'm afraid that Mr. Cetio is meeting with the chairman of Other Corp today." "Other Corp? Didn't I just hear they were looking for a new vice president of marketing?" "You don't think he..." "I wouldn't know, sir. He only said that you never say anything in your meetings that you haven't already talked about with him, so he didn't feel he needed to be here." Mr. Owner walked over to a large bank of windows looking out over the city and sipped his drink. He had such a beautiful plan, ruined, because the people he wanted to share his greatest treasure with turned out to be more interested in other things. As he gazed down at the street 25 stories below him, his mind began to wander down through the floors of his building, thinking of all the different offices and cubicles, and his eyes began to glitter again. He again waved Mr. Personal Assistant over. "We're going to delay the meeting just a bit. I want word passed down to all the junior executives and other salaried employees that anyone who would like to join us for lunch today is welcome." "Sir, you heard me. Go." As the invitation to join Mr. Owner on the top floor was passed down through the building, the people weren't sure what to make of it. Many simply didn't believe it. Many of the ladies said that they would have gone if they had worn a nicer blouse that day. Others sneered that they wouldn't want to eat with all those uppity types anyway. Some actually went, either out of curiosity, or maybe some of them were just hungry. As Mr. Owner saw the room begin to fill up, he began to enjoy what he was going to do more and more. And he again waved over Mr. Personal Assistant. How much more room do you think we have in here?
We are still well below the room's capacity, sir.
I want the invitation extended to everyone, all the hourly workers, mailroom, delivery drivers, the janitors, all of them. We'll wait.
But, sir, they're going to eat here with us? Some of them are, sir, dirty. Some of them don't even speak English.
Get them up here.
And the curious thing is, the lower down the corporate ladder the invitation went, the better the response. Soon the room was filled with every imaginable type. Right in the front row was a guy with a MBA from Harvard in a $4,000 suit, sitting next to a middle-aged single mother Latino woman who clears tables in the cafeteria. With a look of deep satisfaction, Mr. Owner went to the podium and he looked out over the faces of those who had responded to his invitation.
Thank you for joining me today, especially those of you who have come up on such short notice. I'm going to keep this short. In my desire to thank those who have honored me, I will be dividing the ownership of Big Corp equally among everyone here. Please be sure that Mr. Personal Assistant has your contact information. Welcome to the good life. As he stepped away from the podium, his eyes fell on the three empty seats in front that had been reserved for his vice president. And the glitter in his eye hardened a bit. Waving to Mr. Personal Assistant yet again, he said, "Tell Mrs. Director of Human Resources that I'll see her at 2:00. Heads are going to roll." So let's think a little bit about our parable here. And I'm actually going to come right down because, as Dana likes to say, it's time to talk in church. Right? I may ask some questions, and I'd love to have you guys respond. So if you didn't catch on, my parable is not directly from the Bible. But actually it is, because as you probably caught on, it was a rewrite of a biblical parable. So which biblical parable was it? Right, yeah. The wedding feast and the Great Supper are kind of two different versions of the same theme. This is from Luke, which is the great banquet, right? So what is the parable about? Okay, and here we might need to work together a little bit. What's the point of the parable? Parables always have a point, right? I mean, they're nice stories, but they have a point. What's the point of the parable? Absolutely. One of the things going on in the parable as Jesus told it and the parable as I told it is that the invitation is extended wider and wider and wider in steps. And each time, it's bringing in people less likely to be included, right? The idea that this is the theme of God's grace, the theme of God's kindness, right? In bringing in people who you would never expect. Any other ideas? Not everybody comes. Yep, there's an inversion, right? There's an inversion. We get the opposite of what we expect. Let's pull out a little bit more of this idea, not everybody comes. What more can we say about that? Those who don't come and... It's about choices, right? They make choices.
busy. Were they really too busy? Or is it all about a choice? Yeah. Yeah. And what? Frank is pointing at Linda, so Linda must have something to say. So I would phrase it this way, kind of pulling out a few more details. When God offers us his blessing, it's actually something infinitely more than we realize, right? And to not take it seriously is to insult him. That's one of the things in the original parable, as Jesus told it, that we can miss out on because we're not aware of the cultural things. These men, they weren't just too busy with their farm work or whatever. Okay? They're not accepting the invitation. In the culture, as they would have heard the parable, would have been a shocking insult. And that's one of the things that I tried to bring through a little bit more, is that Mr. Owner is insulted. It is an affront to his authority. And people will pay for the insult. So this is that other theme, right? You can say that the parable has two themes, or you can say there are just two sides to one theme. And this is the theme of God's warning. And even more, you can almost say a little stronger than warning, threat. That to reject God's grace is to slap in the face the one who holds your life in his hands. And both of these ideas are held together here in the parable, right? Kind of describing the parable, Paul's comment from Romans 11:22 is actually incredibly apropos. Behold the kindness and severity of God. Severity to those who have fallen, but kindness to you. So, with those themes kind of in mind, those two themes and how they work together, I'd like to actually read the parable as Jesus told it, because we are a pretty Bible-loving church. So we can do this thing, but then we also want the actual words of the Bible here. This is in Luke 14. When one of those at the table with Jesus heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "Funny you should bring that topic up." That's my insertion. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The word of God for the people of God. So, of these two sides of the theme, or of these two themes, God's goodness and extending the invitation ever wider and wider, but also the severity of people being held accountable when they insult the Lord, which which would you say is the primary theme? Because parables, all the same, even though there'll be all sorts of different nuances, they usually are aimed at one thing. And one of these two themes, I really believe, is the primary thrust of the parable. The what? The warning, the insult? Anybody want a dissent? Mm-hmm. Well, I was hoping for a little bit more vigorous debate. But I agree with Debbie and Holly. I think the primary thrust of the parable is the warning. And kind of as evidence for that, I would put out, where does the parable begin? What's the circumstance that brings it about? Jesus is at a banquet with some of the people that you would expect to be in the kingdom. And he makes a passing comment about the kingdom, and one of them very piously, and I believe probably very self-satisfiedly, is that a word, self-satisfiedly? Self-satisfactionally, says, oh, blessed is he who shall, you know, right? Obviously kind of talking about himself, right? Or at least about people like him. And Jesus tells the parable to him, warning him that he may not be as secure as he thinks, that he may be passing over the call. Because even as he's saying this, he's not even listening to the kind of stuff that Jesus has been teaching. In his satisfaction that he's in the place that he ought to be, that he's on good course, he's not even hearing what God is saying to him. And then the other reason that I'm confident that the main point is the warning is whatever the last thing is in a parable is usually a very good clue as to what the real point is. And after the whole thing of bringing in the outsiders, the parable at the very end changes directions and ends with, and as I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And you can imagine Jesus sitting there around the table and looking maybe at the guy who had spoken up, maybe making eye contact with a couple others, and saying, I tell you, not one of them will taste of my banquet. Matter of fact, some commentators believe that this last phrase actually isn't part of the parable. There's a shift in the pronouns from singular to plural, and some people believe that at this point, the parable had ended, and this is just Jesus talking to the men around the table. You think you're the honored guests, but are you listening to God's call? So, what's the message for us? I'll be honest. I think people like us will frequently read a parable like this in a very self-satisfied way. With good reason. You know, to be honest, with some good reason. The big point of the parable, the one real big thing, is to be sure you're saved. To hear the gospel, to hear the word of Jesus Christ, repent and believe, and to make that decision. To repent, to open our hearts before the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to search us for sin, to stop making excuses, to open ourselves, expose ourselves to the Lord, and put our faith in Him, what He did on the cross, what He did on the resurrection, what He is doing now, and to live life seeking to follow Him, obey Him, and honor Him. And we're doing that. I don't know everybody here's story personally to know exactly where everybody is, but I have fairly good reason to think at least the vast majority here has really been to the foot of the cross in real heartbroken repentance and has really sought to turn their life over to Jesus. And so in the real big picture of the story, I think there is some warrant to read the parable and say, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you that by your grace I did not bop along the trail that I was on. Thank you that you stopped me. You got my attention. That one day I heard the warning and I humbled myself. And thank you that I am responding to the invitation. But after that big message of the parable, I think there is more that really is for us. Right? And that's namely that the kingdom isn't all future. And that there is an invitation today of some of the things the Lord wants to do in our lives. And are we responding to his invitation today? And this can look like some real basic physical things. Because life is made up of real choices of what we do with real time. And there are lots of ways where too often we who think we are in can end up refusing the blessing that the Lord has for us because we're just not taking it seriously. This can look like when we don't take time to pray. Prayer is central. And you all know that. And every one of you, if the topic of prayer comes up around the dinner table, you can say, oh, prayer is the vital breath of the Christian. Prayer is where heaven and earth kiss. But then do we do it? Knowing that God calls us to spend time with him and in that communion with him by the Holy Spirit to experience more of his kingdom today, do we do it? Or do we undervalue what he's doing when he invites us to prayer? The same can be said for another just fundamental stone of the Christian life, the Word of God. Do you spend time in the Word of God? If you attend this church, I'm confident that you believe that this is gold. That this is where your life is going to change. Do you pick up the newspaper more often? We believe that the church is the place where the kingdom is experienced. Are you seeking to build ever closer, more genuine, more authentic relationships in the church? Or is it easier to keep everybody at just a certain distance? Are you hearing the invitation? Or are you saying, oh, that sounds nice, but I'm kind of busy today? I think one of the places where you can see how seriously we take these relationships is when somebody, another member of the church, maybe even the pastor, kind of comes by and says, hey, how are you doing lately? Do you answer honestly? Or is it easier to say, oh, great, how are you? God's invitation is coming in many, many, many ways. God's call for us to change our lives comes in many, many, many ways. And the one big decision that we made however many years ago, when we really look back and say, that's the day I was born again, that decision has to be remade daily, over and over and over again, as you hear that first big call reiterated in moment-by-moment little calls. But it's not that that one brings a big blessing and these bring little extra add-on blessings. The blessing that these little calls all day long, that is the big blessing that we originally said yes to. And the blessing is infinitely bigger than we realize.